We are holding on Nun Zayin Omud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ein Moedudin Ela B'Chevel Shon Nun Amah. When it comes to measuring the Tchumim, so till now we've been talking about the details of the shape of the Tchum and the shape of the city or whatever. So now we're going to talk, today we're going to be talking about actual land surveying. How do you go about measuring the actual Tchum? So the Mishnah says, Ein Moedudin Ela B'Chevel Shon Nun Amah. You measure only with a rope of 50 amas long, as we'll see in the Gemara why. Loy pachas v'lo yoser, not more, not less. V'lo yimdeid ela k'neged liboy. And when you're measuring, you measure davka with the rope held against your heart, against your chest. In other words, Rashi explains, you don't want, for example, you're going to have two people holding one, each holding one end of the rope. You don't want one of them is going to hold it near his head and the other one is going to hold it near his feet. And then the result is that you're going to have, then you're not measuring a full 50 amos. Then you're measuring then you're measuring 50 amos along a diagonal, which means along the flat land. It's going to be less than that. So you don't want that. So therefore, the Chachamim will kivei a standard thing that, therefore, the Chachamim will kivei a standard thing, that you hold it next to your chest. Okay, I mean, you can have, of course, people are slightly different heights, but that's not going to make much of a difference. I mean, you're not going to have people, you know, you're not going to have one guy who's 3 feet tall and another guy who's 7 feet tall during the measuring. But Pashtus, you know, they're both going to be people who are, you know, around 6 feet, give or take.
What's about one person at the top of the hill and the bottom, other person at the bottom?
So that we're going to get to. So far, we're talking about when you're on flat land. So now we're going to be talking about the various details when you're on a hill or whatever. Yeah. So the mission continues. If when you're measuring you reach a valley or a fence, then mavliya. Then what you do is you span it and then go back to the regular place that you were measuring. Spanning it, Rashi explains, meaning, in other words, what you do is, first of all, if the thing is less than 50 amas wide. Now, let's say, for example, you're talking about a valley, or you're talking about a hill or something. The slope of it, if you actually walk up and down it, it may well be more than 2,000 amas. We don't say that we count that towards the Tchum measurement. So let's say, for example, you measured 1,500 amas so far, and then you come to something where you come, let's say, to a valley where if you walk down into the valley and walk back up, you'd have gone more than 500 amas. We don't say then that whole 500 amas is going to count towards the Tchum, and therefore the Tchum ends at the end of that valley. No, what we do is basically we span it. What we do is basically we just measure it. We just measure as the crow flies. We just measure the distance from one side to the other without going up and down it. This is called mavliya. We're gonna have a number of different terms that we're going to have in the Mishnah and the Gemara about various things we do when we have hills and valleys and other things and fences and other like that and other things like that to deal with. One of them is mavliya, which means that we span it. So basically, Rashi describes what you do is you have one person stand in the case of a valley, for example. You have one person stand on one side of the valley, the other on the other. They still hold the rope across between themselves, between their chests, and therefore they measure as if there wasn't a slope there at all, as if it was just flat land. That's called mavliya. If the thing is wider than 50 amos, then we're going to see soon what you do. And the same thing. If you have, let's say, a fence, Rashi describes, to be exact, what you have is, let's say, a stone wall that fell down. Now you have a heap of stones, but it's not so steep that people can't walk over it. Same thing, then you measure it as if it was flat land. And then when the Mishnah says v'chozer l'midasei, it doesn't just mean that then you go back to the normal way of measuring, because you have been measuring the normal way. You still measured with the 50 amas across it. What it means is, Rashi explains, we're going to see in the Gemara, you have the diagram here in Rashi. Suppose that you have a valley or mountain or whatever next to the city, which is different widths in different places. In some places, it's wider than when you're opposite the city, it's wider than 50 amas. But if you were to go further out, if you were to go further in one direction or another, it would narrow and then it would get to less than 50 amas. So what you do in that case, as we're going to see in the Gemara, is you're measuring, you start by measuring out 90 degrees from a 90-degree angle from the wall of the city. You're measuring, let's say, the Tchum to the north, so you're walking directly north of the city. But now, if you find that at that point there's a valley which is wider than 50 amos, but it becomes narrower than 50 amos at a certain other point further east or further west than that, but still north of the city, then what you do is you do that. You go over to there, you walk over to that point, you measure over there, you scan it over there using the measuring tape. And then you go back to the original line that you were on, and you go back to the original line that you were on, and then you continue measuring from there. So in other words, you look out, you being a surveyor, you know how to do this, Gemara is assuming, as we're going to say in the next Mishnah, you need to have experts do this kind of thing. So you'll figure out, okay, so far we measured, let's say, 1,500 amos out from the city. But now we've reached this valley. So now what we're going to do is we're going to walk a few hundred amos more to the north or to the south. Then what we're going to do is we're going to measure across over there. And then, okay, now we know we've reached 1,550 amos. Now we're going to return to our original line parallel to the city and continue measuring from there. So let me try to show the picture that we have over here. Okay, so you see the picture over here, for example, where you have opposite the city, the original line that you were measuring on is the valley is more than 50 amos across. So what you do is you walk over here, you look over here. Okay, now I'm on the same perpendicular line that I was before. You measure across the 50 over there because narrow enough to do that. Then you walk back to the original line that you were and continue measuring in that direction. That's what the Mishnah means.
It's a very good picture. It's good to understand. Very good. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so to continue. Continues the Mishnah. If when you're measuring, also if you reach a mountain, there also you span it and you go back to the original place where you were measuring. Tosfos asks the question, why does the Mishnah mention them as two separate things? First, it mentions a valley or a broken down heap of stones, and it says Mavliya, and then it says the same thing by mountain. Why not just include them all together? Tosfos says, because further on in the Mishnah, the next couple of lines in the Mishnah, we're going to talk about a special din that applies to mountains. So therefore, the Mishnah mentioned mountains separately, even though in this particular case that we're dealing with, the din is the same. Also, Tosfos says it's also conceivable. Tosfos says that there is actually a difference in halacha between a mountain and a valley. One difference is that the Rosh talks about, and this is brought in halacha, is that when it comes to a valley, it's a lot less tircha to span it, because all you have to do is you have the two people stand on the two sides and hold the rope between them, as opposed to when it comes to a mountain, sometimes what you may need to do is, depending on the height of the mountain, each person is going to have to hold a tall pole, and then they're going to stretch the rope from one to the other. So that's going to be a lot more of a hassle. So therefore, in some cases, as we're going to see in the Gemara, the Chachamim will allow us to measure it a different way. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Now, when we're saying that you're allowed to go off from your original line of measurement and measure someplace else and then continue the original measurement, that only applies only if you're not going outside the tchum by that. Now, Rashi gives two explanations about that. One is, let's say, for example, Rashi says, suppose that the valley is so large that by the time you get to the other end of the valley, you're going to be outside the tchum. So let's say, for example, you measured already 1,900 amos of tchum, and now you come to a valley, let's say, for example, you measured 1,980 amos of tchum, in 1980, and now you come to a valley which is 30 amos wide. So in terms of being able to span it, you'd easily be able to span it because you have a 50 amma long rope. You can easily span 30 amos with it. The problem is that if you do that, you're at 2,010 amos. You're already outside the tchum. So what you might think to do, Rashi says, is You might figure what you'll do is, okay, you'll measure the full 2010 amma. You'll measure it with the 50 amma rope. So you'll reach then, in that case, you were at 1950 before, let's say, because you're supposed to do 50 ammas at a time. So you were at 1950. So you're going to measure, let's say, here, you know what, let's give the actual scenario. Let's give the actual scenario that we have in the picture over here. This is according to Rashi's first explanation. So let's say you measured out 1,000 amas, then you have a valley which is more than 1,000 amas wide. The valley is, let's say, 1,500 amas wide. So you might figure, okay, what I'll do is I'll measure the entire width of the valley, which is 2,500, which is 1,500. Now I'm up to 2,500, which is more than a Trum Shabbos. Then what I'll do is, after I did that, then we'll go down into the valley and measure another 500 amas back. And that way we'll establish the thing that way. Rashi says, the Gemara is saying you can't do that. You have to measure, so you're going to have to, you got over here, then you're going to have to go down in here and measure across over here. Again, as we're going to see in the Gemara, there's different types of valleys, some depending how steep the walls of them are and whatever, where sometimes you measure the floor of the valley and sometimes you measure the slopes of going down into the valley, sometimes you don't, etc. Anyway, that's Rashi's first explanation, is that you can't first measure all the way to outside the Trum and then go back in and then go back into the Trum and subtract that. That's Rashi's first explanation. Tosfos, among others, has a problem with that, because anyway, look, I mean, if you do like that, you're anyway not going to get an exact measurement. You're going to have to consider the slope on the other side. Once you do that, then it throws off all your calculations anyway. So Rashi's second explanation is this picture over here, which is, let's say you've measured out from the city. Now, here you have, let's say, a valley which is too wide to be able to span with the measuring rope. So what are you going to do? You have to find an area where it's narrower. Now, let's say the problem is the area that you're going to find that's narrower, where it becomes less than 50 amas wide, is more than 2,000 amas away from your original measurement. So then the Mishnah is saying, don't do that, because as the Gemara is going to say, people are going to mistakenly think that the Trum goes all the way out to there. People are not going to realize you're surveying here because that's the only place that's available. People are going to think the actual Trum of the city extends all the way out to there. Over there, we have the line that says 1,000 amma, let's say, and you can't because the Trum ends over here, the dotted line. So therefore, then you're going to have to use a different method, as the Mishnah and the Gemara are going to go on to say. Okay, so to continue, the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues. Im eini yochel avliya. What happens if you can't span it? It's too wide to span. It's more than 50 amas. Bazu Amir Rav Destoy Barayanai Mishum Rav Meir. So in this particular case, Rav Destoy Barayanai says in the name of Rav Meir, Shamaiti, I heard from my Rabbeim, Shemakadrin Baharim, that you pierce through the mountain. Now, it doesn't literally mean pierce. What it means is, as the Gemara is going to explain, Rashi mentions it over here, is we use instead a shorter rope. We use a 4-amma rope. What we do is, in that case, we have one person stand. So this is your question, Ellie, about what we do on a slope. Is we have one person stand at the bottom of the slope and holds the rope by his chest as usual. The other one stands 4 amas away up the slope and holds the rope by his feet. So more or less, you're forming a triangle over. So you're forming a triangle over there, which more or less you have one side of the triangle is half the height of the person. So about an amma and a half or two amma, about an amma and a half or 2 ammas. The other side of the triangle, the other leg of the triangle, is the 4 ammas distance between him and the other guy. And then that way, in effect, what we're doing is you're going like this, kind of. So therefore, you repeat the process, and that way, in effect, what you're kind of doing, it's similar to Mavliyai in that you end up more or less with the measurement of the base of the hill, or with the measurement of the base of the hill as if it was flat land. So it's similar in that sense to Mavliyai, but instead of just doing it with one big 50 amma rope, you're doing it with a shorter 4-amma rope, and you're doing it piecemeal. You're doing it a little at a time. Obviously, how close your measurement is going to be to the actual base of the hill is going to really depend on how steep it is. If it's very, very steep, actually, we're going to see in the Gemara, if it's very, very steep, then you have other methods that you can use as well.
Is there a picture on your Gemara there of this last
of this Mekadrin Baharim? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, let me...
Okay, but I have a picture also. I was wondering if you...
Okay. No, it's fine. If I can find it quickly, then let me do that. It's kind of hard going back and forth between the Gemara and the picture. No, it's fine.
You see this, Rabbi? You see this?
No, but it's fine. Here's the picture. I have it. Let me just get my thumb out of the way. Okay, there we go. So there's the Makadrin Baharim. So you have one person standing at the bottom over there with it by his chest, the next person by his feet. Then you repeat the process, him by his chest, him by his feet, and so forth. And that way you're going like stepwise up the mountain. So it winds up, again, depending on the actual slope of the mountain, you end up more or less with the, you end up more or less with the, with the, with the base of the mountain. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Minahani mili. Where do we know this, that we said that you use a measuring rope, that you use a measuring rope of 50 amas? Now, obviously, the whole thing of Tumen is Dirabanan, but the Gemara is looking for an asmachta for it. Besides which, we're going to learn on Omid Beis, there are other cases where the Torah tells us to measure. One of them is, for example, for the Tumen with the Ari Miklot that we were talking about the other day. Another one is the case of Egla Arufa, when you find a dead body outside the city. So in those cases, also you have to measure, and in those cases, maybe you have to use a certain measuring rope also. So where do we know that you have to use 50? Amar of Yehuda Amar Rab, the Amakra, because the Pasuk says about the Chotzer of the Mishkan, Urech HaChotzer Meir Ba'amah, the length of the Chotzer was 100 Amos, Urech of Chamishim Ba'chamishim, the width was 50 by 50. Now, what do you mean 50 by 50? Your width is not two dimensions, a width is one dimension. So it means, Amar Torah, it means the Torah is telling you, the Torah is hinting to you, the Chevel Shechamishim Amah Medoid, measure using a rope of 50 Amos. So Ba'chamishim using 50. The Gemara says, "Hi, mi boy le little chamishim al stab of chamishim." We already used earlier in the Masechta. We used that for a different limud. We said that's where we learned the whole concept of 70 and 2/3 amos as the extension of a city that we talked about the other day. That we said that you take 50 amos of the chotzer and use it and break it up into strips and use it to surround the other 50 amos so that you end up with a square of 70 and a fraction by 70 and a fraction. So we're already using the pasuk chamishim b'chamishim for that. How do we have it available also for an asmachta for this, for this about the measuring rope of 50? The answer is, in pain, if that's all the pasuk meant, just to teach us about that concept of Torah Chamishim, B'Sabav Chamishim, Lemakra Chamishim Chamishim. The pasuk didn't have to use the word Beis. It could have just said Chamishim Chamishim, 50-50. And then we would say that it means that you take one part of 50 and you use it to surround the other part of 50, as we learned back on Daf Chaf Gimel. My chamishim, ba chamishim, but since it uses the word ba chamishim in 50, so therefore shamat minotarti, therefore you can learn two different things from it. You can learn from it the concept of toh chamishim besabev chamishim, the idea of how we turn a rectangle of 100 by 50 amos into a square of 70 by 70, or 70 and a fraction by 70 and a fraction, and also this that we're talking about over here, that you use a measuring rope of 50 amos. The Torah Chamishim, Mesab of Chamishim, is we had previously, is this over here, where we start with the Chotzer of the Mishkan, 100 by 50, and then we cut one half of it into strips, and we use them to surround the other part, so we wind up with a square of 70 and 2/3 by 70 and 2/3, with a bit of a fraction left over. But now also, what we're saying is, we learn from it, in addition, also this concept of using a measuring tape of 50 amos. Okay. The Mishnah said, "Loi pachas v'loyoy," so you don't use a shorter or a longer one. So the Gemara says, "Tana," we learn in a Braisa, "Loi pachas." Now you don't use a shorter one, Mepnesha Marbe, because the result of that is going to be that you're going to end up making the tchumim longer than you should. When you have a shorter rope, you're able to stretch it more proportionally to its length. Like this, you measure the rope at. How do you get a 50 amma rope? You take a piece of rope, you cut it off, and you measure. You don't have it stretched to its full width over there. So then with a shorter rope, proportionally, when you stretch it, you're getting a longer length. So therefore, you end up measuring more than 50 amas. Or more, let's say it was a 30 amma rope, you end up measuring more than 30 amas. And not longer than 50 for the opposite reason, because then you're going to measure too short, because then the rope is too heavy. So then what happens is, the rope is too heavy, it winds up sagging in the middle, and therefore you don't have a long enough length. So therefore, 50 amas is just right. Amr of Asi, ein murdered an alba chevel shall afskima. Rav Asi says the type of rope you measure with is a rope of afsakima. My afsakima. So what is that word? What does that word mean? Amar Rav Abba naugila. So Rav Abba defines it by a word that they use in those times called naugila. My naugila. So what is that? Amar Rav Yaakov dikla dechad navra. It means a palm tree where there's only one. It means there's a type of ivy or something, a type of climbing plant that grows around palm trees. When you have one single one that grows around a palm tree, that's the kind you use for this rope. Ikadamri, a different version of the discussion, was Mayaf Skima, Rab Abba Omar Nagila, Rab Yaakov Omar Dikla Dechad Nabra. According to the second version, was saying there are two different definitions. Rab Abba defines it by the word Nagila, and Rab Yaakov disagrees and defines it as this one ivy or whatever, this one climbing plant that grows around a palm tree. According to the version that it's Nagila, the Aruch brings a possibility that it means it's a rope made out of the bark of a walnut tree, in which case that might be Rav Abba's Nagila. Okay, so far we have a couple of possibilities what kind of rope you're going to use, and then we're going to see soon there's other possibilities. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Amr Bishur ben Chananya, Ein Lachosha Yofel Medida Yosim Mishal Shalois Shabazo. When it comes to measuring the best kind of thing that you could use, which would sag the least and then cause the least problems, is to use iron chains. Actually, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says it doesn't literally mean iron chains. Those are very heavy. Those would sag in the middle. He says it means more like metal rods that plug one into another, like sort of if you put up one of these pop-up sukkahs or whatever you have, or a tent for that matter, you have these metal rods where one end plugs into another, so something like that. That would really be the best thing. Aval, but Rabbi Yeshua says, Manasa, what can we do? We can't do that. Shari Amra Torah over Yodei Chevel Midya. We find a pasuk which describes a malach measuring something using a rope. What is the something? Rashi says it refers to the third Beis HaMikdash that's described by Yechezkel, where it says that he saw the Malach measuring with a rope. Tosfos points out that actually the Pasuk, Rabbi Hananel, and Tosfos brings it, says that actually the Pasuk that we're quoting here in the Gemara of Yodah Chevel Midah is actually a Pasuk in Sefer Zechariah, where it says that Zechariah Anavi saw a Malach going with a rope to measure the future size of Yerushalayim. And then Hashem tells him, you know what, forget about measuring it, prozis teish of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is going to be wide open and it's not going to have any measurement. The point is, anyway, the Pasuk describes the Malach as measuring with a rope, and therefore, based on that precedent, we have to measure with a rope also. So the question is, well, Ksiva v'yada ish knei hamida, but when it, now this one is by the Beis HaMikdash, by the third Beis HaMikdash, described by Yechezkel, and there he says in the Pasuk that he saw Malach holding a measuring rod. So you see that you use a stick, a rod, rather than a rope. The answer is ahulatari. The answer is that measurement is talking about he uses it for the widths of the gates. For the widths of the gates, where the gates in the Beis HaMikdash are 10 or 20 or whatever amos wide, for those it's more practical to use a measuring rod. But when it comes to measuring long distances like we're dealing with over here, then it's more practical to use a rope of 50 amos. Actually, Tosfos points out that actually you have larger measurements in Yechezkel's Beis HaMikdash also. In fact, you have the walls of the walls of the Harabais there are described as 3,000 kanim, 3,000 measuring rods, which is 500 kanim, which is 3,000 amos. But the point is, though Tosfos says that no, it means the Malach did use a measuring rope for that, and he measured the length of 500 kanim, but he actually used a rope for the longer measurements, like the Gemara is saying over here. Okay. Tani Rabbi Yosef, getting back to the question of what kind of material you use for the rope, Rabbi Yosef taught a braisa, shlosha chavolim heim, there's three kinds of ropes in halacha that are used for different purposes. Shal megeg, v'shal netzer, v'shal pishton. Shal megeg means a rope made out of reeds, in particular a papyrus or some other soft kind of reed like that, is one kind. V'shal netzer, another one is made out of Netzarim. Rashi gives two explanations. One is it means peeled arava. One is it means peeled arava branches. peeled out rubber twigs, that is. The other explanation Rashi says is it means something that it means sieve, it means the soft stuff that grows on a palm tree, like right under the bark. And Vishal Pishtan and a third one is of linen, of flax. What's each one used for? Shall megig lapara, the one made out of megig, out of papyrus or whatever soft kind of reed, is used to tie up the para adroma. The tnan we learned in the Mishnah, para kvasua b'chevel amegig, they would tie up the para adroma with a rope made out of megig, out of these soft reeds. And the sanua gav marachta, and then they would place it on the pile of wood where they're going to shecht it and burn it. The reason why they use the Hevel HaMegeg, Rashi explains, is because Megeg, this grass, is not Makabel Truma. In general, we know we're always very machmer, with the Parah Adruma. We try to do everything with it as much as possible in a way of Tahara. So we want to make sure that we use things that are not able to be Makabel Truma. Tosfos points out, ropes in general are not Makabel Truma. But the here we want to use, not only a rope in general is not Makabel Truma, but we want to use a rope of a species that is not even Makabel Truma. So that's the one we use for the Parah Adruma. Then, Shal Nitzarim L'Soita, we use one made of Nitzarim for the Soita. Again, Rashi says that Nitzarim means either of peeled Arava twigs or of the bast, it's called in English, the soft stuff that grows under the bark of a palm tree. So that we use for the Soita. The Tnan, we learn in the Mishnah in Soita, we describe over there how part of the process of the Soita is they tear her, the Kayan tears her clothes to expose her heart. And then after that, the Achakach maybe Chevel HaMitzri, then he brings a Chevel HaMitzri, this kind of rope that we're describing, the Koshri L'mayla Midadeha, and ties it above her breast, because the point is, now with her clothes are ripped, they're going to fall off unless you have something to hold them up. So therefore, he'd bring a rope over there to hold them up. So we use a Chevel HaMitzri for that purpose. The Mishnah mentions over there the idea that everything with a Soita is Mida Kenegan Mida. She beautified herself. She wore a nice fancy belt when she was going to see this guy that she may have been Mizana with. Therefore, Mida Kenegan Mida, we make her wear a very cheap kind of rope. The Yerushalmi adds over there also that the word Mitzri is similar to the word Mitzrayim because she acted like Maisa Mitzrayim. She acted in a way of Znus. At least there's strong reason to suspect that she acted in a way of Znus, like the way they did in Mitzrayim. So therefore we use a Hevel HaMitzri. And Vishal Pishtan, the Medida, the third one is a rope made out of flax or linen that we use for measuring. So Rabbi Yosef disagrees with what we said before. We brought before that Rabbi Asi says we use a skima, and we said that it means either from a vine that grows around a palm tree, or maybe the Oruch that explained the Gemara to mean that you use it for, you make it from the bark of a walnut tree. So now Rabbi Yosef has another opinion, which is that we use a linen rope, and that's the halacha. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, we said if you're measuring and you reached a valley or a fence which you can't, so then we said if it's narrower than 50 amos, then you span it with the measuring rope and then the Mishnah had said v'chozer l'midasei. Then we said you go back to your original measure, which, as we said, it meant, in other words, you're first measuring along one line, you go off that line in one direction or the other, and then you go back to the original line. So, midatani chozel midasei, so the Gemara spells out. It means since it says you go back to your original place of measurement, that means miklal dim any yochel havliyo. The implication is that if the place you're at, opposite the city, is over there, the valley or whatever is too wide to span with the 50 amma measuring rope, holach lamokum she yochel havliyo. The implication is then that what you do is you go someplace else where you're going to be able to span it, or mavliya, and then you span it where it's narrower. But sofik kineged midasei, then you look over, you sight over to back to the line that you were on originally, the choizer, and then you go back to there. That's what the Mishnah is implying, and the Braisa is going to spell it out in fuller. Taneinu l'hada tanan abanan. So in this way, we've learned briefly in the Mishnah what we learn in more detail in a Braisa. Hoya moded v'higiyah amidah l'gai, if he's measuring, and the measurement reaches a valley. Im yachal havliyah b'chevel shachamishim amah, if you're able to span it with a measuring rope of 50 amas, in other words, it's less than 50 amas wide, mavliyoy, then you do that. By the way, the Yerushalmi brings an interesting idea. Given that you're supposed to be measuring in 50 amma increments, what happens, for example, you've measured, let's say, 25 amas, and then you come to, a valley. So what do you do at that point? You can't. So the Yerushalmi brings a couple of different opinions. The halacha, as brought in Shulchan Aruch, is what you do is then you backtrack 25 amas, and then you span the whole valley with your 50 amma rope, because you always want to measure as much as possible in 50 amma increments. Anyway, so if you're able to do that, then mavliya. If you're able to do that directly in the line that you were measuring to begin with, then you do that. Ve'im lav, and if not, holach l'makom shiyach l'avliya. Then you go to another part of the valley or another part of the hill or whatever, where you're able to span it, umavliya, and then you span it with the rope, the tsofa, and then you look back for chozel amidase, and you go back to the original line that you were on. So the Braisa mentions in more detail what we said briefly in the Mishnah, and that means that Braisa is reliable, and we can accept it as halacha. Continues the Braisa. Im hoya gaim ukam. What happens if it's a crooked valley? So Rashi gives two explanations. One, Rashi's first explanation is that it means that it's a valley where the slope of it is very gentle. So up until now, we were talking about a very steep valley. And now we're talking about one where then we say you just span it. In other words, you just consider it as though it was flat land and just span the width of it with your measuring rope. As opposed to now, a gaima ukam, Rashi's first explanation is that we mean one that has a gentler slope where they were able to do the makadrin that we described in the Mishnah using the piecemeal thing with the four amma rope going up and down the slope. Rashi doesn't like that explanation, though. He doesn't say what his question is on it. Tosfos and Tosfos mentions one possibility is because later on the Gemara is going to talk about an extremely steep valley. The Ritva points out a different problem that Rashi may have with it, whatever. So Rashi then gives a second explanation that a gai ma'ukam means suppose you have a valley which curves around the city. So now, let's say, for example, let's say you're measuring the tchum on the west side of the city, Rashi mentions. Let's say the valley is wider than 50 amas on the whole west side of the city. Where is the valley going to be narrower? Only when you reach a different side of the city. Only when you reach, let's say, the northern side of the city. So now, what are we going to do? You can't say that you should then go all the way to the northern side and then do the havla over there, because the problem is, then you're not going to know what the tchum is on the west side. So here's where you're going to have to do the makadrin that we described before. So here's the picture to illustrate this. So you have over here, you have the city over here. You have a valley that extends along one whole side of the city, still wider than 50 amas. Only when you curve around to here, only then do you reach a point where it's narrower than 50 amas. So what are you going to do? How are you going to be able to figure out the tchum on this side? So that's Rashi's second explanation, which he prefers, and most of the Rishonim also prefer that explanation. So then, if you have this curved kind of valley like that, makdiv ola makdiv yoda, then what you do is then you have to do the makadrin that we described in the Mishnah, meaning that you use the four amma measuring rope and you go up and down the slope. And then you measure the tchum that way. Higilakoso continues the braisa. If you reach a wall and you have to measure it, ein omim yikovakoso, there we're not going to require you to pierce through the wall, or obviously we don't require you literally to pierce through the wall, but it means, in other words, Tosfos says we're not going to make you put the measuring rope on poles and hold it above the wall. That would be a big tircha. So therefore, so all you have to do in that case is just estimate the width of the wall, and then you continue from there. Tosfos points out over here that there's a certain kula that applies to walls and mountains that doesn't apply necessarily to valleys. Because again, when it comes to walls or mountains, if you're going to measure over them, you're going to have to use tall poles and put the rope on top of that, and it's going to be a big tircha. And of course, also you're going to have to make sure that the poles are held exactly parallel to each other, and it's going to be a big headache. As opposed to a valley. Then you're just mavliya because then it's much less of a hassle. All you have to do is just measure across from one side to the other. Unless, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon, when you have a very, very steep valley. But when it comes to this wall, the Gemara is saying you don't have to go and actually measure the width of it. You can estimate it. Although the Rosh distinguishes in that, and this is brought lahalacha, whether the width of the wall is more or less than 50 amas when you'd be able to estimate it versus when you have to measure it properly. So that's the Braisa. So the Gemara says, what do you mean when it comes to a valley? We said makduv ola makduv yodid. We said you have to do the 4 amma at a time measuring. Didn't we say in the Mishnah, or for that matter, with the wall just over here, we said now with the wall that you estimate it. But in the Mishnah, you said mavliyo v'chozel midasei. We said in the Mishnah that you span it with the 50 amma rope and then go back to where you were measuring before. And the answer is, the Gemara says, the difference is hosam nicha tashmishta, hachala nicha tashmishta. The difference is that the Mishnah, when the Mishnah talks about that you have a valley and you either span it or you do the 4 amas at a time, it is talking about where it's nicha tashmishta, it's not so steep. People are able to walk up and down it. So therefore, we're going to see on Amud Beis the definition of what that is. So then if it's narrower than 50 amas, then mavliya, and if it's wider than 50 amas, makader. As opposed to hocha, we're talking about over here a vertical wall. So loy nicha tashmishta, it's not that easy to use. People are not going to climb up one side of the wall and go down it. So we said in the Braisa, you estimate the width of it. In other words, you don't count the slope of it towards the tchum at all. Let's say, for example, it's a wall which is not exactly vertical. Let's say, for example, you have it's a little bit like a pyramid. Let's say it's a little bit wider on the bottom than on the top. You don't count the slopes at all. You just count the top of it. You just count the top of it, and that's what counts towards the tchum. Okay. So again, as we go further in the sugya, we're going to see according to Rashi, and according to Tosfos, there are like 4 or 5 different situations over here. What we do when? When do we do what's called medida yafa, a normal measurement of the ground? When do we do mavliya? When do we do makader va'ola? When do we do omdo, which is estimating? So each of these is going to have its place. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, loy shanu, all of this that we're talking about. About doing the 4 amas at a time is elashein chuta mishkolus yored kenegdei, is only if a plumb line doesn't go directly down from it. In other words, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, if you have from the top of the slope to the bottom of the slope is less than a horizontal distance of 4 amas horizontal going outward. In other words, if you were to hold your arm over or you hold a stick of 4 amas, let's say, above the valley, and then drop a line from that goes vertically down. If that will go all the way down and not get caught on any rocks or whatever on the way, then it means it's a very steep valley. So if it's not chutam ashkolas yored kenegdoi, those are the cases where you span it or where you do makdir. Because since it's such a slope is obviously very steep. It still may be very steep, but it's not so steep that we can't do kidru. We can still go down, the surveyors can still go down into it and do the 4 amas at a time. aval chuta meshkolas yored kenegdoi, but if the plumb line goes down straight down into the valley, let's get up over here a picture of that in order to illustrate what we mean. Here. Let's see. So here you go. So chuta meshkolas yored kenegdoi would be like this. You see in this picture over here, you have a very steep valley. The guy is standing on the edge over there. He holds out a stick of four amos, and then he drops a line from it, a plumb line, which is going to go exactly vertical, and it goes all the way to the bottom. So the distance, the horizontal distance from the lip all the way to the bottom is less than four amos. So then, if it's that steep, then we have different rules. Tosfos points out, actually, I mean, when you get down to it, it would also obviously how difficult it is to use is obviously going to depend also on the height of it. If it's a short height, then a horizontal distance of four amos is not going to be that steep. As opposed to if it's a very deep valley, then it's going to be much steeper. But Tosfos says, okay, the Chachamim just made a standard thing. If it's steep enough that the distance from the top to the bottom, the distance from the lip to the bottom is less than four amos in horizontally, then we're going to have different dinim. So then he says, "Modidei medidei yofa." Then what we're going to do is we're going to measure it normally. In other words, then what we do is we don't consider the slope at all. The slope does not count towards the tchum. We don't have to do this kidur either because it's too steep for the people to be able to stand four amas apart and measure like that. Instead, we have to go down into the valley and actually measure the bottom of the valley as flat land. And then you continue out the other side and go from there. Meaning, in other words, here's the picture of it. So let's say you have over here, you measured out 1,000 amas. You have this part over here, you have this valley with very steep walls. What you go is you go and measure the bottom of the valley. Let's say you find in this scenario the valley is 44 amas wide. Okay, so that gives you 1,044, and then you measure out the rest of your amas until you get to the 2,000. The point is that you're not considering the slope itself, even though again the slope itself is not necessarily 100% vertical. It may have a little bit of a slope to it, but it's so steeply sloped that you have less than four amas from here until here horizontally. So then we ignore that slope when we're counting the tchum. As opposed to if it's less than that, then we do count the slope. Then we do consider the slope, and then we have to do mavliya. If we're able to do mavliya, then we do that, and if not, then we do makdir, which is going to involve measuring a certain amount of the slope. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Vakama oinke shogai? How deep can the valley be that we should say we span it like this?" Rabbi Yosef says only if it's up to 2,000 amas deep. More than that, then we wouldn't say. Then we wouldn't say that mavliya. Even if it's so, in other words, if it's a very narrow and deep valley, it's 2,000 amas deep, and it's less than 50 wide, we're not going to say mavliya. We're not going to say that you just hold one person on one side, one on the other side, and measure the rope across. You're not going to do that. Instead, you're going to have to actually measure the slope down to the bottom of it. Mefoshim say the reason, the logic behind that is because given that 2,000 amas is the tchum, you can't include 2,000 amas in there when the whole tchum itself is only supposed to be 2,000. Eisvei Abaya. But Abaya asks Rabbi Yosef, "I have a problem with that." Abaya says, "Omek kuf v'roich of nun mavliyoi." Abaya says that if it's 100 amas deep and 50 amas wide, then you can do mavliyoi. Then you span it with the rope. V'im lav ein mavliyoi. And if not, then you don't span it. So the implication is that you only have up to 100 amas. The answer is huda amaka achirim. The answer is yeah, but Rabbi Yosef is talking according to a different brisa, according to achirim. The Tanya achirim, achirim usually, of course, means Rav Meir. That achirim say, I feel amak alpayim v'roich of nun. Even if the valley is 2,000 amas deep and 50 amas wide, mavliyoi, you can still span it with the rope. So achirim doesn't care about that it's 2,000 amas deep. it can't be more than 2,000, even according to him, but it can be up to 2,000. And not like the Braisa that Abaya said that it can only be 100, that it can only be up to 100 D. Ikadamri, another version of it goes like this. Another version is that Rabbi Yosef says even if it's more than 2,000 deep, it's still okay, and you can still just measure across it rather than into it. The problem is, command the loika Tanakama v'loika Acherim. Then who is that like? Then that's not like the Tanakama, and it's not like Acherim. The answer is Hosam Shein Chuta Meshkolus Yored Kenegdei. The answer is that the machloikus of the Tanakama and Acherim is only again when it's not that steep, when you don't have this thing where you drop the plumb line over there and it goes all the way down to the bottom. In other words, the walls of it are not that steep. You have a distance of more than 4 amos in horizontally from the lip of the valley until the bottom of it. So then you have the machlokas of how deep can it be, and you can still be mavliyeh. Rabbi Yosef is talking about b'chutam eshkolas yored kenegdo. Rabbi Yosef is talking about a different case where it's so steep that the chutam eshkolas goes all the way down to the bottom. So then, that's what Rabbi Yosef will say, that even if the valley is deeper than 2,000 amos, then you can still ignore the slopes of it because the slopes are so steep, and just measure across it. As long as it's less than 50 amos wide, obviously, because if more than 50 amos wide, you can't span it anyway, then you're gonna have to measure it some other way. The Rambam actually has a shita that even the Rambam writes that even according to Rabbi Yosef, we're saying it can be 2,000 amos deep, but it can't be more than 4,000 amos deep. And the Magen Mishnah and other Noisei Kelim on the Rambam discuss the question, where exactly is the Rambam getting that from in our Gemara over here. Okay. So the question is, v'chi ein chutam eshkolas yored kenegdei ad kama? What's the definition for this purpose of chutam eshkolas yored kenegdei or not yored kenegdei? In other words, how much of a horizontal distance is there from the lip of the valley until the bottom of it? Amar Avimi Dalad. So Avimi says, like we said before, 4 amos. V'chein Toni Rami Bar Yecheskel Dalad. Rami Bar Yecheskel also taught a braisa that it's 4 amos. In other words, so it's not you stand on the lip and right away see whether the chutam eshkolas goes all the way down to the bottom. You can you put it out on a pole 4 amos long and see if then it touches the bottom. If then it'll go all the way down to the bottom. If it does, then it means that it's considered steep enough that then we don't consider then we don't have to do makadur or whatever. Then we just figure out the width of the valley floor and we ignore the slopes down to it. Whereas if it's where it's not chutam eshkolas yored kenegdei, then we're saying that you do need to then we're saying you need to do makadir, and then we're saying that there's a limit how deep. Then we're saying that according to the Tanakhama and according to Acherim, there'd be a limit how deep it could be. Okay. Tosfos actually has a whole different explanation of chutam eshkolas yored kenegdei over here, that it basically means. Tosfos also explains, of course, that it means how steep it is, but Tosfos explains, in other words, that the chutam eshkolas yored kenegdei has to do with not just how steep it is, but how rough it is. In other words, chutam eshkolas yored kenegdei, according to Tosfos, would be that it's steep. But it's rough enough. There are places, you know, there are indentations and there are things sticking out and things going in or whatever where a person can climb up and down. As opposed to ein chutam eshkolas yored kenegdei, Tosfos says would be where not only it's steep but it's also smooth. So it's not really possible. So it's not really possible to walk up and down it. And then based on that, Tosfos has a whole different explanation of the sugya over here. We said in the Mishnah Higiyah Lahar, we said if you reach a mountain, Mavliyo v'chozel midos, so then we say you span it with the 50 amma rope and go back to where you were before. Again, meaning in other words that if the mountain is more than 50 amas wide, directly opposite the city where you were measuring, but it's narrower than 50 amas further in one direction or another, then you go over there, you measure over there, and then you look back to the point where you would have been, and you continue from there. to Omar Rava, Loishonu Elabaharam is slacket Yud Mitech Dalid. That applies only if the mountain is so steep that you have a height, it goes up a height of 10 tfachim within a slope of 4 amas or less. So we've had that concept before in Amasechta. We also had it in Masechta Shabbos, actually. It comes out to a slope of about 25 degrees. It comes out in terms of the percentages. You know, you sometimes see on the highways, you know, whatever percent grade, 6% grade or whatever, it would be a grade of about 45%. It's much steeper than you would find on any street, on any residential street, anywhere in the world. You know, you would only find it in the mountains or whatever. But anyway, if you have such a steep mountain, then that's when the Mishnah is saying that you can just be mavliya, that you don't count the slope of it, you just count the base of it, in other words. You're talking about a mountain. If you were to measure along the flatland, if you were to hypothetically remove the mountain over there, you might find that the area is only, let's say, 50 amas wide. But then if you actually walk up the mountain and then down the other side, you've walked a distance, let's say, of 70 or 80 or 100 or whatever it is amas. So when do we have the kula that we don't count the 70 or 80 or whatever, but rather we count the 50, is only if the mountain is that steep. That's mislakit yud mitech dalid. But if the mountain is not that steep, it's a gentler slope, you have a rise of 10 tfachim only in a distance of 5 amas, then murder them in Didiyafa, then you measure it a normal measurement, meaning you measure along the slope of the ground. So then you're going to have one guy is going to stand at the bottom, the other one is going to stand 50 amas up, they're going to use the measuring rope over there. Yes, so in effect, what you're doing then is you're measuring along the slope rather than along the base of the mountain. Rav Huna Breder of Nasan Masni Lakula. Rav Huna Breder of Nasan learned the statement of Rava in a different way that comes out with a kula. Namely, Omar Rava Lashonu al Baharam Slakat Asarim Techamish. The other way around, the Mishnah, when it says you can measure the base of the mountain, is talking about where it rises 10 tfachim in a slope of 5 amas or more. Aval Baharam Slakit Asarim Tech Dalid, but if it's steeper than that, again, this 45% grade or whatever that we were talking about, where it rises 10 tfachim in a length of 4 amas or less, then you don't have to bother measuring at all, then you can just estimate it and continue on. Again, the Chachamim are not going to be matriach, so you don't have to measure the slope, because since at that point, when it's that slope, it's not so nichatashmishte, it's not so easy to use as, so it's not quite as extreme, loy nichatashmishte, as what we talked about on Omer Aleph, when we had a wall over there where people are not going to climb up one side of the wall or down the other, but still, it's so steep that it's not so nichatashmishte, it's not as easy to go up one side and down the other. And so therefore, the Chachamim are not going to make you measure the slope of it. We're going to allow you to measure the base, but we're not going to require you to measure the base by using this method of kidur, of the 4 amas at a time going up and down the mountain, which is a big tircha. Instead, the Chachamim will allow you to just estimate the width of it and continue on from there. So to summarize, Tosfos says over here, it comes out, according to Rashi, we have the following different cases. We have four different cases Tosfos describes. When it comes to a wall or a mountain or whatever, if it reaches a height of 10 tfachim in a length of 5 of more than 4 amas, then you measure it like flat land, meaning you're measuring the slope of it. If it's mislakat yud mitoch dalet, it's a little steeper than that, then we do mavliya, then we span the length of it, which means we're just measuring the base of it, and otherwise makadu, which also is an attempt to measure the base of it. If it's not nichatashmishe, if it's even steeper than that, and it's harder to climb up and down, then you can just estimate it. And if it's so steep that ein chuta meshkolus yod kenegda, as we said before, where the horizontal distance from the top to the bottom is less than 4 amas, then you ignore the slope altogether and only measure the flat land. Then Tosfos goes on to say that's all as far as a mountain. When it comes to a valley, though, Tosfos says that there wouldn't be such a difference between Nicha Tashmishte and not. The only difference is with a valley, you only have that difference of Chuta Meshkoilus, Yerd Kenegda, whether it's so steep that you have a distance of less than 4 amas from the lip to the bottom. And again, the reason is because with a valley, it's much easier to span it. You don't have to bother with poles or anything. All you have to do is have people stand on the two sides of it, and therefore the chamim were not going to be makel to allow you to measure it using other methods if you're able to span it, as opposed to with a mountain or a wall or whatever. Since you're going to have to use poles, and that would be a big tircha, then the chamim are not going to require you to do that in cases where it's steeper than that.
In a valley, if it's if the width between the valley is more than 50, then it's not easy.
So that's the thing. So if it's wider than 50 amas, so it depends then. So if the slope is shallow enough, then if the slope is shallow enough that we're going to be able to do makadir, then we do that. If not, then we have to find another part of the valley which is narrower, and we're going to have to measure over there. And if it's so steep, if it's ein chuta meshkolus yored ken, if it's chuta meshkolus yored kenegda, if it's so steep that the plumb line is going to fall directly from the top from within 4 amas of the top to the bottom, then you don't need anything anyway. Then you ignore the slope altogether, and then you just go down into the valley and measure the floor of it. So right, so the only cases with a valley, the way Tosfos is saying it over here, the only ways, according to Rashi anyway, the only ways you'd be measuring the actual, the only ways where you'd be going up and down the sides of the valley would only be if the valley is steep, but not that steep, basically. And again, then Tosfos has a whole different explanation of Chuta Meshkoilus, that it has to do with how smooth or rough the going up and down is, and therefore based on that, Tosfos has a whole different explanation of the sugya. Okay, Tosfos also mentions, by the way, that in some cases we can estimate the width of something. That only applies to natural things. If you have, let's say, for example, Tosfos describes, if let's say they make a moat around the city, then we don't say oimdei, even no matter how steep it is. Then you have to span it because it was man made. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Wavad Shalai Yetzi Chutz L'Tchum, as long as you don't go outside the Tchum. Again, we have the two explanations that Rashi said what that means. One is that it means that you're not allowed to, let's say, measure past the 2,000 amas and then go backwards and subtract what you're going to measure now from the 2,000. And the other explanation, which Rashi preferred, was that you're not allowed to go so far in one direction or the other away from the city that you're going to measure over there outside what would be the Tchum. So you're not allowed to. My timer, why not? Because you don't want people to think that the Tchum goes all the way out there. According to Rashi's first explanation, they're going to see people measuring out here. They're going to think, okay, well, then in that case, the Tchum goes all the way out to the 2,500 amas or whatever that they measured, and they don't realize that the surveyors are then going to end up subtracting 500 amas from it like we had before. According to Rashi's second explanation, the vote is you don't want to go outside the square or the rectangle that is going to end up being the Tchum of the city because you don't want people to think that the Tchum goes all the way out to there when it doesn't.
That's only done for the surveyors. But once the servers get the right amount, they're not going to be using that measurement over there. They're going to make them go a visible
That's
line.
Fine. The problem is while they're surveying, if they're going beyond 2,000 amas, according to either of the explanations of Rashi, if somebody sees them doing that, they're going to think that the Tchum goes all the way out to there. And we don't want them to think that. So again, in Rashi's first explanation, then again, let's look back at the pictures over here. In Rashi's first explanation, we were saying that what they're doing is they're measuring beyond 2,000 amas and then subtracting in order to get back to the 2,000, to the dotted line over there. You don't want people thinking that the Tchum goes all the way. You don't want people thinking that the Tchum goes all the way out to here, to the other end of the valley. According to the other explanation, you don't want that people are going to think the Tchum goes all the way out here when really the 2,000 amas of the city only goes here till the dotted line. So that's the point. So we don't want people, while they're surveying, to be making that mistake and thinking that the Tchum goes out further than it really is. Okay. we said in the Mishnah, we said if the valley or the mountain or whatever is too wide to span with the rope, then we have to do makadrin. So Tana Rabbanan, Kate said makadrin. How do we do this makadrin? Tachter and Keneged Libay, the one further down the hill stands and puts the rope by his chest. Elyon Keneged Magaloisav, and the one further up puts it by his feet. Then that's the we do like we showed over there in the picture before. We do it that way, and that way we measure stepwise, but we end up measuring more or less the base of the mountain. Amar Abaye Naktina. Now Abaye says we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim in Makadrin El B'Chevel Shal Arba Amos. When we do this Makadrin, we use Davka rope of 4 Amos, as opposed to the regular measurement, which uses a rope of 50 Amos. And Omer of Nachman, Omer of Bavua, Naktinan. Also, we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim, although actually Hagoyes Abach takes that out. In Makadrin, Loibe Egla Arufa, Loibe Ore Mikla. This whole concept of Makadrin, we were saying over here, in effect, what are we doing with Makadrin? We're measuring the base of the mountain rather than the slope of it. We only do that when it comes to Tchumen, because Tchumen are Dirabanan. We don't do it by the Egla Arufa, when you find a body outside the city, and you have to measure to the nearest city to see which city is going to be the one that has to bring the Egla Arufa. You don't measure like that. Veloiba Ore Miklot, also not with the Ore Miklot, when you have to measure the tchum of the Ore Miklot that we were talking about yesterday and the day before. With those, you measure a proper measurement along the slope of the ground, meaning that you always measure the slope, no matter how steep or how shallow it is, you're always measuring along the actual lay of the land. Because those measurements are min haTorah. So there's no estimating, there's no makadrin, there's nothing of that. We measure along the ground, we measure along the lie of the land, along the ground, as if it was flat land. Which of course means, in other words, that the tchumen for those purposes are generally going to be narrower than the ones that you would have for tchumen of Shabbos. So here's an illustration. Rashi mentioned. So let's say you have a city like this, for example. So you have a mountain and you have a valley over here. If you measure, like we were talking about how you do for tchumen, then you would have, let's say, from here to here is maybe only 1,700 amos, and you have another 300 amos to go. But when it comes to the tchum, as far as the ore miklot, or as far as the dead body, then you measure along the actual land itself, along the slope of the hill, along the slope of the valley, to reach the 2,000 amos. Okay. Shkayach, everyone.
Thank you. Where are you, Rabbi?
So, when...